Well, good morning, brethren. Happy feast. Yeah, I've been looking forward to coming back to Jekyll for some time and thought I would get this thing open before I got started, but it's been a long time planning, long time looking forward to, and it's just a special feast. It's good to see this many people in this room. It almost brings back that nostalgia feeling, especially with that singing and growing up in the church and feeling this power. But I see a lot of people I haven't seen for years. I see a lot of new faces, and it's very encouraging to see this and witness and be a part of this family. And this year is especially exciting for me to be back here because I'm thrilled. I had the opportunity to introduce the sixth generation of our family to the feast here in Jekyll Island. And it's not often you get to stand up here. Thank you. It's not often you get to stand up here and say you have five generations in this room right now. I have a grandmother and a granddaughter listening to me right now. And I tell you, that don't make you nervous. I don't know it will. But it's a privilege. And just to see these connections that we're going to make this year, not only with our family, but instill into our granddaughter's heart just how special this place is. And what kept me coming when I was just a few months old myself, 45 years ago. And I still see faces that have inspired me all those years. So I just want to say thank you for allowing us to be here with you and share this joyous time. You know, when you're asked to speak, one that be the first speakers, you're like, what am I going to cover that won't make every other speaker mad? So, you know, we have those meetings. We listen to each other's notes and make sure we don't trip on everybody. So I thought what I would do is just take those notes and everything I get sent to me in a caption and just give you every scripture. So just see how they can handle themselves. But I was thinking about this feast and how much hope is generated just to be here. And in fact, one of the most popular scriptures is one of my favorite. We actually have it on our bulletin. Is what Habakkuk 2:14, where he gives this Habakkuk is given this inspiring vision by God, saying, there will be a time. I know you're going through a lot. This land of Judah is just forsaking me. There's going to be punishment, yes, even by those horrible Chaldeans. But there will be a day. There will be a day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of me, my glory, as the waters cover the sea. Believe in it, Habakkuk. That's your hope. And if you want a title for this message, I've entitled it Habakkuk's Hope. Because Habakkuk's hope is our hope. Those words spoken to Habakkuk are beautiful. And you and I have this opportunity here on this island to look out and see that ocean. Look at the vastness of it and capture that grandness that God is talking about just in a little bit. I did that last night. Went down to the ocean and watching that moon and just thinking about just that little glimpse I'm seeing and what God can do when he returns, his son returns, and his plan. Because just like Habakkuk, we're facing a terrible time. We live in a woke world. A world that's turning its back at a rapid pace. But we're here because God gave us a vision. We have a hope that will fill not just our lives, it's going to fill everyone's life. And we sacrifice to be here. It takes faith with that hope to continue to walk. We look to this word, just like Habakkuk had to do. He had to live by it and hold fast no matter what his eyes saw. I want that hope more than everything, and I have the faith, and I will walk. God is my Rosetta Stone. I don't care what anyone else says. What God has spoken is the truth. And I want it. There's going to be tribulation like Habakkuk faced. But it's through that tribulation we have hope. Because God says it is through that tribulation you will inherit. That's why we have to continue. We didn't come here, as we've been hearing from months before we got here. We didn't come to a convention. We didn't come to a vacation. We didn't come to no man-made event. This is not an event. This is the very presence of God. Catching a glimpse of this hope. We can't deviate from it. We got to be here. We got to be engaged here. Because when we leave, everything in this world is going to come after us. It's going to try to destroy that hope. But just like Habakkuk, just what faith is all about, what hope is all about, we're going to deal with reality. But in that dealing, we look beyond what is being presented by this world. We look for that better place. We look for that time when that knowledge and the glory of God will cover all things. So how are we going to endure when we leave? How are you and I going to continue to keep this same excitement you have right now? Not just an excitement in a moment, but an excitement connected to hope, connected to joy, and connected to your faith. How are you going to face it when you're hit right between the eyes with a 2x4 the first day back at work, the first day back at school, when your lives seem to fall apart? It's called connection. Connection to Abba. Abba gave you that hope. Abba, don't lie. Daddy loves us. And Daddy's given us everything we need to be here, to be inspired. Because He gives us a vision of glory so that we produce a fruit that glorifies Him. We want to share in that glory. One of my favorite scriptures I use quite often, it kind of comes up almost all these type of messages back home in the four congregations I'll have the honor to serve, is back in Daniel. You would please join me in Daniel. Daniel 11. Daniel 11 and verse 32. This is dealing with reality, what we're going to have to face. And we have a choice to make here. Live by faith, hold on to hope, or, verse 32, be those who do wickedly against the covenant. The covenant you made with our great God. The covenant that allows you to be part of something, to catch this glimpse of what God says of what the earth will be, of what this time represents. Will we be those who do wickedly against the covenant? Because that being, that beast power, that false prophet is going to come with this false hope. He's going to lure, he's going to be good at it. He's going to have this flatteries, these delicacies, these soft, smooth words. How to serve God in the modern era. But it's all a trick to take our focus off this hope that God has given us. But he says, but the people who know their God. You didn't come here without knowing something was special here. Abba sent you an invitation. He laid out his heart. He's laying out his heart this week. He's asking you to know me. He wants to know you. So the people who know their God shall be strong because they have that hope. And they will be the ones who can carry out great exploits. Now keep that in mind. Let's go back to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. And early on in the chapter 1, God told Habakkuk, yeah, this is going to be tough. I'm going to do a work. If I even told you, you won't believe it. It's going to be hard. You're going to see your country destroyed, people you love die. You're going to watch people turn their back on this covenant, do wickedly. You've seen it already. But Habakkuk, have this hope. Preach it. Write it down. Share it. And Habakkuk got it. And in chapter 3, verse 17, he says, though the fig, and I never started my timer, so I apologize. Sorry, Jerry. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit beyond the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no fruit of food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yes, I'm going to be slapped right between the eyes, and I can't see the evidence of this hope and this promise with my eyes. But Habakkuk said, yet I will. This is a definitive statement. Thought, well, if I can get a miracle, if I can get this, I'll believe you, God. No, his hope was grounded. And he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy. That's action. It's not passive. It's not temporary. I will joy in the God of my salvation, the God who saves me, who has a plan for me, who gave me that vision. I trust him with all my heart. And just like Habakkuk, you and I must know our God. We have to get this vision this year. But that's our source of joy. It's our source of joy. We got to be committed above all things. If we want to rejoice before the Lord and do our heart's desire, we got to know what Abba expects of us. We got to know his holy standards. We want to honor him. We don't want to be flattered by delicacies of this world. If it doesn't bring glory to God, why would I participate in it? Because I want the glory that's going to fill this earth. Why would I dishonor my God by taking off and doing something else at his house? This vision, this hope, has to be clear in our hearts and minds. Because Satan hates the fact that you're here right now. He's going to do everything he can to get your attention this week. But we have to have a clear connection to why God called us here. Who made way for us to be here? Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's pick it up in verse 17. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, he wants you to have that vision. It's not a carrot to keep you moving. He wants you to have that vision. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. He spoke it directly to us. And he said, and it says, by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge. We have left this world. We heard that call. Come out of her, my people. Because it was destroying our hope. God saw the damages it was doing. He goes, I want to give you something. So, fled from refuge to lay hold of the hope that was set before us. And this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. It's deeper. It's more powerful than anything. Jekyll is not the answer. The kingdom is the answer. There's not one meal you can have this year that can satisfy the appetite we must have for righteousness. We're here at God's table because we hunger and we thirst for that hope. And that is what anchors our soul. Chapter 11 is a reminder when you put this all in context. Faith. Faith in that anchor. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Verse 6 says, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. For if we want to come to God, it says, we must believe that he is God, that he will fulfill what he promised, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have been showed the way. We have been sanctified by the truth. We know the way of life because we're anchored. We're anchored to it. Again, if it's something physical, physical will fail. But this hope, this connection to what Abba has offered us, will not fail. Think of those who could not be here this year. If Jekyll was the answer, their hope would never endure. There are people that had to be left behind in care facilities. There are those who couldn't travel. There are those who heard the word cancer this year. There are those in this room who are here without a mate for the first time. There are those who are dealing with family issues at this time. Our children, our teens are fighting a battle for their own lives. It has to be anchored in something more than just this physical. It has to be this hope. It has to be more. And you got to see it. Not just feel it and want it. You got to see it. That's the vision he wants us to have. The vision of the glory of God covering you, just like it would cover this earth one day. Philippians chapter 4, it was alluded to earlier this year. I think it was on the Sabbath. Philippians 4. He says, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. Don't rejoice in the physical things. Yes, the blessings are great. God gives us to them. But go to the source who gave them. He is the one that gets the glory. Rejoice in him always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, stay connected. Communicate with Abba. Communicate with our elder brother with supplication. Be thankful that they brought us here, that they gave us a vision that inspired us to sacrifice to be here. So when something comes up, let your request be known to God. Don't sit and fall into the abyss of bitterness and sorrow. Go, restore that vision. Seek that hope. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, anything this world could ever offer, that peace will guard your heart. It would guard your mind through Jesus Christ. Nothing that man can do can penetrate what God has given you. Now that's hope that no one can take. That's the comfort when you look to your right and your mate's not with you, because you know God's hope is still there. You will see them. That cancer might get me now, but it don't win. My God's stronger than cancer. This hope brings me joy that cancer or troubles or trials can't take away. So think of the things it says that are true. The absolute authority who voiced it. That's what you focus on. The things that are noble that come from our God. The things that are just. We need justice in this unjust world. We're here experiencing it. We should be acting as those of justice, godly justice in this room, all over the world, wherever we're keeping this. We want to focus on the things that are pure. The pure word of God. The things that are lovely. Those things that are good report. If there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on those. I want to share with you a story. The Sunday before I left for the feast to come here, and she's probably watching, so I went and visited a lady who has her body is riddled with MS. She's in the final stages. She's been in a care facility for most of her life, bound by a chair. She has to be put in bed. Everything for her. And she said, I'm having a hard time with joy right now. I got to go in for a surgery because my kidneys are full of stones. Can't even do natural function. And she was really scared. So I was talking to her. And I said, God knows this. Do you remember that hope? And I talked to her about Habakkuk. And I read her those scriptures, and I said, God knows your heart. God knows you would get out of this chair and run if he would allow you to be there at the feast, even though you have no dime. She's poor as can be, but she's rich in spirit. And they told her, we're going to have to go in and remove those stones by means of surgery. It's going to be pretty invasive. And she was scared to death, so she called and said, help me. The surgery was supposed to take place on the Day of Atonement. She emailed me that morning because she knew I was speaking. And she said, they just canceled my surgery and I don't know why. They couldn't tell me. Well, I found out as I got here this week that they looked and they did some more tests and they said, we can't find anything. There's no explanation why there's no stone in your kidneys at all. It's gone. And she called me and she goes, miracles do happen, Mr. Hall. I did not see the fig on the tree. I didn't see the olive. I didn't see the field full of harvest. I didn't see anything in the flocks of the field. But I joyed in my God who saved me. That's powerful. Now, I'm not saying that that's the perfect solution. Every time we have a problem, we go to God, it's gone. But you know what? When we live with that amount of faith and we experience and we endure our life and focus on God and that perfect will, you know what's happening to us? We're being perfected. We're being grounded for that time that God has planned. We have more than enough evidence to believe what God has promised. We don't need a miracle to believe in the hope that God has placed in us. Romans chapter 8. Very popular section of scripture. Romans 8. Verse 15. For we did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. We can be concerned, but we can't be anxious about it. We know where to go. But we received the spirit of sonship, adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Daddy. It's tough right now. It's hurtful right now. But we have that connection. And the spirit that he gave us, in us, it bears witness with our spirit that we are his children. We're not just crying out to some figment of our imagination. We are talking to Daddy. And we're connected to him. He said the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are his children, children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, that hope that is promised. And indeed, if we have to suffer with him, let it be so, that we may also be glorified together in that time. Because it says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with that glory, Habakkuk's hope, for that glory which shall be revealed in us. Drop down verse 24. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he can see? But we hope for what we do not see. And then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Just as God told Habakkuk, I'm going to do a work in your day. It's going to be hard at times, but there is a light. There's a hope, there's a promise. But if you don't hold fast to it in faith, you won't believe it. You may fall for those delicacies that's going to be promoted. So I ask us, what more do we need? What more do we need? You know, my granddaughter, that little one-year-old, that sixth generation, reminded me of this fact last night. You know, I have a lot on my mind, as Mr. Wendt does too. A lot of things pulling us 100 different directions. And I was a bit overwhelmed last night sitting at a kitchen table. And yes, one of those stresses was writing this message that I had not done yet. And I was just sitting there. And she walked up to me with that huge, heart-melting smile. And she reached out to me and said, Papa. And I just grabbed her, set her on my lap. And you know what I thought about? I thought about what Christ said in Matthew 18 and verse 9 and chapter 19 concerning those children, that preciousness they have. Unless you become like these little children, you will by no means inherit that problem. You will not catch that hope, that glimpse, that what he's trying to instill in us. He goes, because of that mindset is the kingdom. Trusting, a connection to where true joy lies. Trusting with our every being, no matter what I have to go through, no matter my situation, I'm connected to Abba, just like she was connected to me. It's not about what we can do. It's about what Christ and our Father have done, will do, and continue to do, and our commitment to do our part and be completely faithful in that doing it. Final scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope Not a feel-good message, not a fairy tale, but something that's living through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, and does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. God is wanting us to be here. He wants us to capture this excitement. He wants us to be there and witness the glory filling this earth. He wants you to be encouraged by that when you face your trials. In this you greatly rejoice, is what he's saying. Connect to it. Though now, for a little while, if need be, you are grieved by various trials. God never hid anything from Habakkuk. He said it's going to be tough. He never hid anything from us when we came to that covenant or those who are preparing for it. He laid it out. But he says, in this you greatly rejoice, that hope, that vision, that if for a while you need to be grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold, that connection, that growth, that change, that nature, that's more precious than anything physical. God says, I consider your spiritual welfare more valuable than your physical comfort, okay? So connect to the spiritual. Understand what it's all about. Though it may be tested by fire, that it may be found to the praise, to the honor, to the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom have not seen you love. That's hope. That's faith. And that's how we approach our great God. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice. When the trials hit you the hardest, you rejoice. When pain hurts the most, you rejoice. Yet believing, you rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the aim of your faith. It has a place. We have something waiting. The salvation of your souls. Let's never forget who we are. You are the family, the children of the Most High God. Joint heirs with our elder brother, Jesus Christ. We can't forget who we serve. And as we observe this wonderful Feast of Tabernacles this week, let's remember what God instructed us through Jeremiah and Jeremiah 6:16. Stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old path where the good way is and walk in it. Don't just want a vision of it. Walk in it. I'm not saying try to relive the glory days, but hold fast to what has been given. Allow ourselves to be revived. Allow ourselves to be rejuvenated. Let's stand in the presence of our Almighty God who has promised us a wonderful future with Him. And then where He instructs us to go, let's walk forth. Let's walk forth with hope. Let's walk forth with faith. Let's not allow this world, let's not allow Satan or anything in this life to disrupt this connection that we have with each other this week. Disrupt the connection we have with our God and His plan, not just for us, but even with those of this world. Let's keep this feast in a way that changes us where it counts in the heart. From this moment forward, let's be diligent to be changed, to be hopeful, and settle for nothing less than what this time represents. It's the kingdom, as they say, or bust. All in. No more sitting on the fence. Ask for discernment. Expect the tribulations, but see right through it. You don't need the proof with your eyes when you have faith and you have hope, because you already have what God has showed you embedded in your heart. Don't let your eyes disrupt your faith. Don't let your eyes disrupt your hope. Let your faith and your hope correct your sight and walk. Hold fast. Let's be a people of hope. Let's be a people who never start, like Habakkuk, never stop rejoicing in the Lord our God. Let's never stop rejoicing in the God of our salvation.